who is wise and understanding among you, let him show it by his good life, by works done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Last week we discussed at length the use of our tongue, and we saw how important and necessary St. James considers the control or the taming of the tongue. In the verses that we just read, St. James opens the subject of wisdom, which is not unrelated to the subject of the tongue. So, do you want to be wise? Wisdom is expressed by the tongue. So if you want to be perceived as a wise person, are you keeping your tongue in line? Well, today's subject refers to wisdom. It is directly connected to the last topics, and it is used to answer those last issues. In other words, are you wise enough to know if you should become a teacher or not? And are you wise enough to make the proper use of your tongue? Again, the subject of wisdom is great, but the Apostle James here gives some specific points on this super subject. Who is wise and understanding among you? The meaning of the word wise in the language of the Holy Scripture, New and Old Testament, does not agree with the ancient Greek or the contemporary Western meaning, which always refers to the intellect, to the scientific mindset. But when the Bible talks about wisdom, it actually means the knowledge of God, the keeping of His commandments, the virtues and holiness. In the life of our church, the word wisdom always reflects the meaning of the Holy Scriptures, and the word wise or sophos is an adjective that is used excessively in the feast days of our saints. So a wise person is one of completeness and holiness in the language of the Holy Scriptures, and not at all like the wise person of today, who may have all kinds of scientific knowledge and many degrees, but his lifestyle may be totally ungodly. In the book of Proverbs, in the Wisdom of Solomon and Wisdom of Sirach, we will find a great deal of verses about wisdom, and the importance of this wisdom in our daily lives is great. In Proverbs, we read the line, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord," or "the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the keeping of His commandments," etc. So the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, which means that when we begin to plant inside of us the fear of God, we begin the godly wisdom. When we keep the commandments, we become even wiser, and this is the wisdom that we must concentrate on. Again, many of our saints were given the title wise without having studied in theological institutions and having read book after book. No, when we see these titles time after time again in the church canons, hymns, Troparia, and Vespers, it only means that these saints realized and sought after the true wisdom that leads to God and not the worldly wisdom. It is possible for us to seek general wisdom, wisdom with wider bounds, As Christians, we can be involved somewhat in some worldly or scientific wisdom. For example, Solomon asked for wisdom and not please God. When God asked Solomon, "What would you like? Ask me anything and I will give it to you." He asked for wisdom. And not in the specific sense that we've been talking about along with St. James, but Solomon received general wisdom, which also included the type of wisdom as defined by the ancient Greeks. This would include wisdom to understand the stars, the planetary system, the animals, the plants, the weather changes. And this is fine as long as this wisdom is never isolated with the specific wisdom, which is fear of God, holiness, and keeping of the commandments. If the opposite is true, and we separate this science or knowledge from the specific or godly wisdom, then this knowledge becomes demonic, as St. James will tell us, and as we witness day after day today in our times. So the wisdom that Solomon asked for, which pleased God because he chose wisdom over wealth, peace, health, power, and so on, and God told him, "Because you ask for wisdom, I will let you have it all." Again, this wisdom of Solomon had the following characteristics. Number one, he wanted wisdom to search and deepen in the mysteries of God and the will of God. Number two, he wanted wisdom to govern his people successfully. Number three, he wanted wisdom to understand and analyze the different species of animals and plants, botany and zoology, anthropology. Number four, he wanted wisdom to study the stars, astronomy, weather changes, or meteorology. Number five, wisdom in the interpretations of dreams, and not the way we explain dreams today. And a few things about dreams. As we know, in the Old Testament, we have some great dream interpreters like Joseph in Egypt and also Daniel. As we know, dreams can be very useful to a psychologist. They are the mirror of our subconscious. Sometimes spiritual people get bothered by certain dreams, and Father Athanasius says that a great deal of people will confess some of their dreams. And most of the time, while he will be listening to them, he will pretend to be disinterested. But at times, the dream of the spiritual child can show to the confessor the state of the soul of the spiritual child, and this can be very helpful. Based on this, the spiritual father can diagnose some of the difficulties that the spiritual child might be facing and ultimately will be able to help him out. But we also have to be very careful because there's the case of demonic dreams. And we have a great deal of stories in the Gerontikon about dreams such as this. And again, Father Athanasius warns us that we have to be extremely careful. He mentions that a certain lady went to him and told him that she had a beautiful dream about him, that he was flying through the air with golden wings, and he had a crown on, and he was making cartwheels in the sky, so to speak. And very abruptly, Father Athanasius tells her, "Be careful, that was the devil. That was a demon, an evil spirit. Be very careful. That was not Father Athanasius. That was simply a demonic and evil spirit. And be very careful, because if you believe that that dream represented Father Athanasius, Then a few days later, that same spirit will appear with Father Athanasios' face, with horns and a tail, and he will be saying things to you that you will not believe. In both cases, this would be a demon with the intent to deceive. Needless to say, we must be very careful in this matter. We will not take dreams at face value. We will not make decisions about the worthiness of a person based on a dream that we may have had about them. We will not be influenced by dreams in this manner. This is not to say that all the dreams are demonic. As we mentioned, God has used dreams many times to speak to holy people in the Bible and to reveal his divine will. So this is the wisdom that Solomon received. So all of the above can be classified as wisdom. And Solomon had all of the above. God made him wise in all these things. So we cannot really say that this knowledge of nature that Solomon received does not represent wisdom. It does. But when this type of wisdom, when separated from God, separated from holiness, then it is no longer wisdom. This is why Plato always taught that any wisdom separated from virtue cannot be called wisdom but knavery or panurgia. So a conniver, according to Plato even, has no true wisdom. When this broad and general wisdom is separated from the specific wisdom, which is the knowledge and fear of God, then this general wisdom becomes demonic in its use and application. This is why today the world is full of demonic wisdom. The people today invent all kinds of techniques and methods to destroy people. So much scientific work that would eventually kill, maim, poison, and destroy human beings. All the wisdom that we have has been used to invent nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, neural gases, biological warfare. Is all this wisdom from God? Certainly not. It can only be an inspiration of the devil, because the end result would be death and destruction. We could have been a lot better off without this type of wisdom, and 1,000 times better off with the simple and specific wisdom of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the meekness that comes from wisdom. St. James is very direct about the definition of biblical wisdom. He connects it with a daily lifestyle of the wise person, which differs from the worldly wisdom. For instance, the scientific world may have great respect for a scientist and may grant him the Nobel Prize or any kind of prize for his accomplishment, regardless of his lifestyle, which may be sinful or perverse. No, the standards of Christ are much higher than that. If we want to be wise, we must radiate this wisdom in our daily relations with people. How do we get along with people? Our daily conduct with other people will define our wisdom in a Christian sense. Our good conduct includes the politeness with which we greet people as much as our deep relations with people. This is the good life that the wise person must have, good conduct with all people. The person next to us must get a certain feeling about us, about our ways, our feelings, our soul, our thoughts and actions. All these things must convey to that person the idea and the knowledge that he's dealing with a complete and special person, a person of godly wisdom. And this is the special person that is almost extinct in our times. I hope we realize this. People of worldly wisdom are a dime a dozen. Professors and scientists and intellectual people are a dime a dozen. And Diogenes with his lantern would pass through them and he would still be looking for a true human being. Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, would stop looking if he would come across a true wise Christian by the standards of the gospel. Diogenes, Plato, Socrates would accept Christ. Again, the people of the world can recognize a person who has these qualities. They will know sooner or later if we are people of godly wisdom. How does the wise person show his wisdom? Not by advertising, not by showing off his intelligence. This wisdom is shown by a very basic element which is again lacking in our society today, the element of meekness, praotis. The true godly wisdom is expressed by meekness. By meekness, the Word of God and St. James mean that our thoughts, our decisions, our movements and actions are not a fruit of vainglory or the fruit of selfish, egotistical ambition or the fruit of anger and passions that darken the mind, but the fruit of meekness. The meek person who is calm and cool and collected, regardless of circumstances, has the ability to always use his better judgment. He judges things and situations correctly. Thus, we can say that meekness is the first basic element that reflects godly wisdom. A certain man, being illiterate, used to attend some theological lessons. Now, these lectures were given in Latin, and this poor man did not understand a thing about Latin, but he could tell which theologian was in the right or in the wrong. When asked, "Why are you attending these theological debates? How can this help you? You don't even understand the language." His answer: "I can tell which of the professors has the true position by his actions and mannerisms." The world in general has the ability to sense truthfulness and sincerity, regardless if the world itself may be corrupt or swimming in sin and godlessness. The people can tell. They can tell if we are genuine or not. Sooner or later, they will be able to see it. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Chapter 3, verse 14. Is there jealousy and envy among Christians? I'm teaching here today. Would I begin to become jealous if someone else begins to teach tomorrow or teach side by side? Or would someone else begin to feel threatened by our teachings? God help us. When we begin to envy each other, well, we must be very careful, because St. James will tell us that true wisdom is to talk and to listen, to be teachers and students at the same time. If we only want to talk and teach, and we forget the art of listening, we lose our sight of discipleship. The good teacher is always under discipleship. This envy among Christians can be the cause of much friction. This unhealthy competitiveness can be found in families, in associations, in scientific circles. There are tremendous jealousies among scientists who want to be first or have a leading role at a certain new concept or theory or invention. Unfortunately, this type of thing happens even in the church, where different brotherhoods will begin to compete and go against each other. We saw it with the Corinthians even, where they would begin to take sides, some of them identifying themselves as Peter's or Paul's or Apollos or Christ. Is Christ divided? Certainly not. St. James is also forced to address this problem, to warn the Christians from this evil, to correct these problems. People used to stand up in the church to speak, and a second person would argue or contradict the first person, and then a third person would join in and begin to have followers. So there was much division in the church and much friction among the members of the body of Christ. So St. James comes to ask now, what do you think? You actually think that you have the wisdom of God when you act in this shameful manner? My friends, we must be very careful, and we must learn how to conduct ourselves in church. Frictions, anger, criticism, spitefulness, and loss of temper have no place in the lives of mature, complete, and wise Christians.